everybody. This is The Simpsons Show. I am Robbie with my co-host Matt, and we are here to talk about The Simpsons from the beginning. Matt, how are you doing?
I'm a little damp, thanks for the rain, but other than that, I am ready to whack some snakes.
We will discuss all that entails. Before that, though, we want to say we are brought to you by our supporters on Patreon. You can support us by going to patreon.com/thesimpsonsshow. And we have some people you have to like to thank before we get into the show. First of all, thank you, Jason H.
Thank you, Jason.
Thank you, Brian Green.
Brian, you rock.
And thank you, Kevin Blixt.
Kevin, you sound like an awesome villain.
I was like, that's a cool last name, I was going to say.
Blixt, I was like, you could name your kid Hans.
Yes. For only $2 a month, you too can support us. Gain access to all of our bonus content, including our next bonus episode, in which we will be discussing the Simpsons Tapped Out game, mobile game.
Woo.
Matt doesn't sound that excited, but I will make him get excited. The power I have. And we are within distance of our next goal. We're getting closer and closer. Gets me excited. Again, that is patreon.com/thesimpsonsshow. And if you don't want to support us that way, you can also support us by just going to iTunes or wherever you listen to us, giving us a 5-star review, subscribing. If you don't know what to say, you can say this. If I had to listen to only one Simpsons podcast, this would definitely make the top three. With a 5-star review, I think that would get the joke across, right?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. This week's episode is Whacking Day, episode 9F18, originally aired April 29th, 1993, written by John Swartzwelder, the most prolific Simpsons writer, directed by Jeffrey Lynch. Originally aired, finished 25th in the ratings, Nielsen rating of 12.2, highest ratio on Fox that week.
Well, no surprise.
Beat out Cops and Martin and Married with Children.
Which is funny when you think about it, because if you figure the front was the previous episode, you would imagine people wouldn't want to watch a lot of Simpsons after that, but this episode turned out to be a lot better, so lucky them.
A lot better, eh?
Yeah.
A lot. That's a lot. How much is... Okay, we'll see. Chalkboard gag. I will return the seeing eye dog.
Which is actually turns out is a trademark, so, you know, be careful throwing those names around.
It is?
Yes, it's owned by a nonprofit that originally started the whole, guide dogs kind of thing. But seeing eye dog is technically trademarked.
Oh, okay. Learn a new thing every day. Couch is replaced with a wooden chair. Yeah.
It works, you know.
It's fine.
Wood's good. I mean, the Simpsons have a dog and a cat, so it's probably a good idea that they should have, you know, furniture that's less absorbent.
I thought you were going a different place altogether with that, but okay. The guest star is Barry White, singer, does a good job.
Yes, and actually it does it under his own name, which is, those tend not to be the best guest spots, but I think Barry White does a great job in this one.
Yeah, he does a very good job. He actually wanted to be on the show, so they found a spot for him. The episode begins with Principal Skinner preparing the school for a surprise inspection.
Yes, because he has an informant in the superintendent's office, because I guess politics and spying are the same in every, you know,
every industry,
every government.
Especially anything that is funded by tax dollars. He has a unique way of getting the bad elements out of the way.
On another topic, the following students have won mountain bikes. Bart Simpson, Jimbo Jones, Nelson Muntz.
I want you to keep filling your shirt with crud till I get back.
Yes, sir.
You may pick your bikes up in Utility Basement B. Fools. Oops, still on.
The bullies get locked in that. Skinner is hanging above them in like the pipes, waiting for them to come down there. How long was he up there?
Do you really need to be hiding from them? I mean, you can just hide behind the door. That's just him showing off as an ex-Green Beret.
I guess that's true. I mean, it's probably inherent in being an ex-Green Beret. You just can't help doing those things.
Yeah, that's true. I also like the fact that all of the bullies, except for Bart, were doing something terrible when he called them down. Like, Jimbo was stealing stuff, Nelson was beating somebody up. It's like, oh, well, you know, they have reasons, you know?
Yeah, I'm fairly certain locking children in a basement of a school is highly illegal, but...
Yeah, man. They deserve it, probably.
We are introduced to Superintendent Chalmers. This is his first appearance.
Superintendent Chalmers, welcome.
Hello, Seymour.
So, what's the word down at One School Board Plaza?
We're dropping the geography requirement. The children weren't testing well. It was proving to be an embarrassment.
Very good. Back to the 3 R's.
2 R's come October.
What do you think of the banners?
Nothing but transparent toadying.
They were the children's idea. I tried to stop them.
It's always the children's fault, isn't it, Seymour?
Yes. Yes, it is, sir.
This relationship between them is a great, like, from the very beginning. This is probably, like, my favorite stuff in this whole episode is just Chalmers and Skinner bantering. It's like the best writing. I mean,
it really is. Their relationship is actually, I think, a great example of Skinner's toadying to everyone. Like, he grew up with his mom, or, you know, well, sort of. We'll see in season 9. But he grew up with an overbearing mother, and he's that way towards any authority figure. And you see it, a great example of that with Superintendent Chalmers. Just walks right all over him.
Yes. And we see the same time the bullies are locked in the basement. They don't know what to do. They are actually despondent and upset that there is a school with no bullies. How is the school operating without the bullies being around?
That's true. Kids would use their lunch money for food. I mean, that would be the most awful thing I can think of.
The worst. Bart spies a vent, crawls out, even though Nelson... I love that Nelson just hits him with a rock as he's trying to escape for them.
It's just ingrained. It's programmed.
We see, at the same time, Willie with his tractor, who apparently Willie really, really likes his tractor.
Yeah, in ways that, yeah.
That
yeah.
Nature perhaps was not intended. Willie's... well, he's distracted by an attractive Scottish lass.
Mm-hmm.
Where is she gone? Why has she come back?
I know, right? I mean, you go back to Willie being a joke. I mean, she should come back, and you find out that she's living in the shack with Willie, and he's tired of her or something. That'd be a great joke. It'd be a trope, but it'd be a great joke.
I think I mean, at this point, they could do an episode around that.
That'd be great.
But we get back. This is so excellent. We get back to Chalmers. In the classroom, inspecting a flag.
48, 49, 50. Flags up to date. Very good, Seymour. Now, are these children as smart as they look?
Well, let's pick one at random. How about that one?
You mean this boy here?
No, Lisa Simpson.
When was the Battle of New Orleans?
January 8th, 1815, 2 weeks after the war ended.
First rate.
What's a battle?
Let's go.
Did that boy say what's a battle?
No, he said what's that rattle? It's about the heating duct.
It sounded like battle.
I've had a cold, so I...
Oh, so you hear ours as bees?
Yes.
I understand.
I have a cold.
That doesn't make any sense, you stupid bastards.
I hear ours as bees. No, this is very reminiscent, like a foreshadowing was it 22 Short Tales About Springfield, where the steamed hams, like that whole little bit, like it's...
Oh, we're having steamed clams. No, I said steamed ham. That's what I call hamburgers.
There's a lot of stuff in this episode that is kind of just like really things they eventually cover more. Later on, like that bit with the Skinner and Chalmers, we get kind of Lisa's environmentalism. So Chalmers is oppressed. He's, you know, he thinks that Skinner's done a great job cleaning up the school, get everything straight. He tastes the sandbox to make sure there's no urine in it.
Which is the most disgusting thing that's ever happened on this show, I'm pretty sure.
Most disgusting. It's just sand, man.
We should start a list, to be honest.
But Bart has escaped from the basement, and what is in front of him? It's Willie's tractor, just sitting there, calling to him.
It's running all by itself.
Yeah. Bart is unable to resist the temptation, pilots the tractor, loses the control, it hits Chalmers in his behind.
I would have thought, excuse me, I would have thought that would have done a lot more damage to him getting hit by a tractor, which appears to be going very quickly.
Well,
right in the butt.
Most tractor, I think that's kind of just exaggerated. You know, it's in Bart's point of view, so it feels like it's going faster than it is, but it's a tractor. They don't go very fast.
If you say so, that seems to be going pretty darn quick.
I say maybe 10 miles an hour. I think it could be okay.
Fair enough.
But with that, Skinner loses his opportunity to become assistant superintendent.
goes to a drunken pill popper. Apparently, you know, that's what you have to be an administrator there.
Yes. But the act ends with Bart not being sent to detention, not being suspended, but being expelled. Sayonara.
That's pretty intense right there. Although I guess for, you know, attempted vehicular manslaughter, that's probably a decent punishment. Nowadays, he'd probably go to jail for the rest of his life.
You don't get a Nobel Prize for attempted chemistry, whatever. Yeah, nothing.
Well, that's true, but, you know, you weren't trying to kill somebody with attempted chemistry. Well, you might be. Well, we'll move on.
With that, we go to commercial. Come on, Matt. You mean a segue?
Oh, sorry. Yes, if you could. When we come back from commercial, we get an explanation for what Whacking Day is. And this is kind of long, has a lot of visual humor, but essentially, and someday in 1776, did I catch that right?
No, it was close. 1785, 1785, maybe? It was
something like that, around that time.
It was a five. Colonial days.
Yes. Jebediah Springfield started Whacking Day by, you know, whacking some snakes for some reason. And they go into it being a tradition, and Richard Nixon was involved at one point.
There's a lot of Richard Nixon humor lately.
Well, I feel like a lot of the writers, their prominent years were when Richard Nixon was, their like teenage years, and maybe their, toddlerish years, you know, between 5 and 10, they just heard about Richard Nixon as a horrible person on the radio, and they formed that image of him. So if you're a comedy writer, you throw that kind of stuff in.
Well, and Futurama takes it to another level, even. But I like that they just shoehorn Nixon when they can.
Well, when you need somebody who's arrogant and evil and a little out of touch, he's really the perfect person. At that point, you couldn't involve Reagan because that would be rude.
He opened up talks to China, man.
He did. In actuality, if people don't know, he was regarded as one of the best foreign policies of presidents of the 20th century. Due to his opening up China and his, policies of non-escalation in Vietnam, which, you know, then got blown out of proportion later on. But still, people who, you know, actually review his policies, it says if it wasn't for Watergate, he'd be remembered as an okay president. It's just, you know, when you break into the hotels of your political rivals, it's not the best thing in the world. But anyway, back on topic. That was all part of the history of Whacking Day, guys. Once we get through with that, we see Marge attempting to find a new home for Bart to learn, and they take him to a Christian school. Things don't go great on Bart's first day.
Now, Bart, since you're new here, perhaps you'd favor us with a psalm.
How about Beans, Beans, the Musical Fruit?
Well, beans were a staple of the Israelites. Yes, proceed.
Beans, beans, the musical fruit. The more you eat, the more you toot.
Avert your eyes, children. He may take on other forms.
Apparently, talking about farts gets you kicked out and accused of being evil at that particular Christian school.
Yeah, I think they're being a little unfair to Christian schools.
I think so
in
too,
general. I mean, I went to Christian school for a long time as a child. We were just as, you know, dumb and puerile as any other kids. We just went to chapel as well. Like, I think they're a little bit over top.
Just a little bit. So, of course, Bart is kicked out immediately of that. He goes home with Marge and says that, well, I guess that's it. I just can't be educated. And, of course, Marge does not take this lying down. She says that apparently there are only those two schools in Springfield. Just those two. That's all there is.
Those are your choices.
So she determines that she is going to teach Bart herself. She's going to homeschool him, which is what happens on these occasions.
Actually, I think that's not a bad idea for Bart, honestly.
It's not. One-on-one attention is probably best for a kid like that, especially if, you know, since Marge doesn't work or anything, she's around the house anyway.
I know. Nope.
And she's intelligent, so she can teach elementary school, no problem. But we then see that Homer loves Whacking Day. He is super excited about it. Lisa, as an animal lover, of course, hates it. She is despondent and practically just falls to pieces over the very idea of Whacking Day, where Homer just gets super excited and orders a new whacking stick. And, well, apparently whacking small animals is all Homer has to look forward to, that and beer.
It really does the mob mentality that we see so often in The Simpsons, like this really captures it. And Homer, of course, is the, you know, the fact that he's so into it. It's perfect, honestly. Like, that is exactly how it, and I like, is this where he pulls out the new whacking stick he has?
No, that's later on. Okay. I assume this is when he orders it.
Yeah, okay. And, but
he mails away for it.
And it, like, you see the Lisa being like that, an environmentalist, the lover of animals, which we see later on, at least in The Vegetarian and in other episodes, like that. There's even other things we'll discuss shortly, but I really like it.
Oh, me too. But then we switch back to Bart and Marge, where Marge has set up a classroom in the garage, and she bought a bell, which
a very frightening bell. Loud.
Yeah, why you'd have a bell like that that's supposed to go in a hallway and to be heard over, you know, hundreds of kids, and just set that up in your garage seems like a lot of work for no particular reason, but hey, I guess she's trying to be loyal to how things go in a real school.
Yeah.
Of course, she says she's going to unplug it now immediately after the first time it scares the living crap out of them. Of course, Marge is enjoying the opportunity to be a teacher and writes her name and says her name is Mrs. Simpson, and she's having a great time. Bart's just kind of got that nervous smile on his face and, you know, rolls his eyes, and you know how it goes.
Her chalkboard, her lettering, handwriting in the chalkboard, really good. Like, really
straight. That's
true. It
kind of makes you wonder, was Marge in trouble as much as Bart and got that much practice with writing on a chalkboard?
There's another spec script for you, huh? We got a flashback to young Marge that her troubled years.
That's true, because before she went to the camp where she first met Homer, because at that point I believe she was probably around Bart's age. So before that, she was a little hellion, but at camp she was the picture of perfection. She denied herself dessert, as I recall, which is what girls are supposed to do, apparently. Anyway. we then see that Marge has brought in Grandpa to talk about World War II, tell Bart some stories.
Oh, that's right. I invited a guest speaker to talk to the class.
Hello, children. I got separated from my platoon after we parachuted into Dusseldorf. So I rode out the war posing as a German cabaret singer.
Won't you come home, Franz Brauder? Won't you come home?
Yoo-hoo!
Ach, du Liebe, das ist not einer Bubi!
Is that story true, Grandpa?
Well, most of it. I did wear a dress for a period in the 40s. Oh, they had designers then.
There are so many things wrong with that story, but that's Grandpa for you.
I it's two episodes in a row we get Grandpa cross-dressing.
Well, you know, it's Grandpa. That and they're wonderful German. That is not eine Bubi. That's
how German. You went to Germany, close. Right, Matt? And that's how they.
Yes.
That's German, right?
It's sadly remarkably close. I don't know about the Bubi in particular, but yeah, other than that, you know, it's fairly close. We then see, at the end of that clip is when Homer drives into the garage because he's not expecting to see a classroom in there. So he's just driving at the end of the day and almost runs him over because fun. But after that, we see Marge assign Bart to read the book Johnny Tremaine because I guess they're doing a colonial history. And of course, Bart is incredibly excited at the thought of Johnny being deformed or in some kind of accident. I have never actually read the book. Have you?
I have read John Tremaine. It's a good book. He is an apprentice silversmith, and he accidentally gets one of his hands covered in molten silver.
Ooh!
So that sounds
horrific.
He is unable to use it. It's an excellent book. I would definitely suggest anyone who's interested in fiction set in colonial times. It's good.
Cool. Well, one of the best things about this is that Bart finds it amazing. He actually really enjoys reading it. And I feel like that's a sad thing we learn about as The Simpsons go by, is that Bart is actually a very intelligent child. He's just, you know, very unfocused about it. But luckily, this book seems to get him incredibly focused on the colonial period. And Marge promises him that they will go to Old Springfield Town after he reads a particularly moving passage out of the book. We then see Homer practicing his whacking for whacking day, and this is the most acrobatic and fit you will ever see Homer, I'm pretty sure, in the entire series, because he is a ninja. He is jumping around, coming out of the bushes, just destroying snakes with aplomb. Of course, Lisa, who's watching this, is still distraught, and she asks her dad for advice, which is a bad idea.
Dad! What?
Dad! Everyone likes whacking day, but I hate it. Is there something wrong with me?
Yes, honey.
Then what should I do?
Just squeeze your rage into a bitter little ball and release it at an appropriate time. Like that day I hit the referee with a whiskey bottle. Remember that?
Yeah.
When Daddy hit the referee?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think pent-up violence is really the way to go, but it apparently works for Homer.
Yeah, again, that is perfect. Like, it could be seen as, like, Homer being horrific to Lisa, like, when there's something wrong with me. He's like, yes, but
yeah.
He just doesn't see it any other way. He's like, yeah, it's natural to, like, be a monster that follows the mob without regard to, like, any kind of ethics. As long as whatever the mob wants, it's fine. You know, I'm one of them. I'm one of the group.
That's probably what they taught kids 100 years ago. Just go with what everyone else is doing. It's cool, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Don't stand out. That's how you get hit down. That's how, eventually, if you stand up, the crowd will think you're a snake.
That's a beautiful
words
metaphor.
Of wisdom.
Beautiful metaphor, Matt.
But after that wonderful father-daughter exchange, we see Marge and Bart in Old Springfield Town, which is apparently like... oh gosh, what's that place in Virginia that's old timey? Williamsburg, yes. Where it's like it's the 1700s all over again, which everyone enjoyed as long as you were white, male, rich, and owned property. If you're not that, don't apply. Seriously.
Yeah, it wasn't necessarily. I really do like Old Springfield Town, though. I like it. All this stuff reminds me so much of everything in Lisa the Iconoclast.
Yes. Apparently, Springfield is an eastern enough city that they have a large history involving the colonial times, because there are a lot of episodes where that happens. I mean, the episode where they leave Uter behind on the field trip alone is fantastic. Oh, and the Civil War reenactment that they do with the North, the South, and the, I believe it's the East. Is mm-hmm. that the third faction?
Well, that's in history books.
Totally. Anyway, sorry. At Old Springfield Town, we have Barney as the governor, who is drunk and just lying in the street, which, you know, certain governors, that probably happened at one time or another. It was more acceptable back then. We also have Fort Sensible, where they were surrounded by Native Americans and sent their captain out, and everyone else was spared. So they called it Fort Sensible because, you know, that was the smart thing to do, apparently.
I can't disagree. You're sacrifice one life for many. I think that's an honorable...
Mr. Spock would be proud.
Yeah, exactly. Logical.
We also see a great slideshow about Jebediah Springfield. I forget, what was he doing? The Battle of Ticonderoga,
mm-hmm.
Which apparently was on the same day as the first Whacking Day. And Bart, of course, catches this and says, hey, wait a minute, how could he be at both places at once? And, of course, everyone who runs Old Springfield Town already knows this and is just hoping no one else would notice, I guess.
Yeah.
And they're immediately shuffled out to the gift shop because, you know, whenever you get kicked out of some place, you always end up in the gift shop so you can spend a little money in the place you get kicked out of. That's just a rule. Every ride at Disney and Universal is the same way.
And this is the kind of the Lisa the Iconoclast stuff that stands out, like that whole idea that Springfield's history is basically just made up by whoever at the time is like running.
I'm pretty
things.
Sure every area has, you know, one or two historical figures they're proud of that are completely full of crap and none of it's real. I mean, America alone has, you know, Johnny Appleseed was almost a complete fake.
Matt,
what?
You will not talk about Johnny Appleseed like that on this podcast.
Well, technically, Johnny Appleseed did plant apples. However, he was establishing orchards. He wasn't a poor kid. He was actually, somewhat a well-off man.
You're shattering my poor, fragile illusion of American history.
That's true. Also, David Bowie. Not David Bowie.
David Bowie. What did David Bowie do?
David Bowie is 100% David Bowie is 100% real. I mean, he has that whole other life where he's in charge of the Guild of Calamus Intent, but that's something else. I was thinking Jim Bowie behind the Bowie knife. Apparently never used the Bowie knife ever in his life, which is sad.
Well,
but,
because the Bowie knives weren't that great? Like They were mass-produced, so they weren't that good.
Exactly. He used lots of different types of knives, not just that one, because that one wasn't particularly good. So Springfield's history is mostly made up, except for the rivalry with Shelbyville. That's completely real and has always been there, I guess.
Always.
As we'll learn in Lemon of Troy. But we also see, once Marge and Bart have been kicked out of Old Springfield Town, Apu has a wonderful promotion where he's hidden some snakes in the Quickie Mart, and the first person to whack it wins free squishies. And, of course, everyone proceeds to destroy his store, because that is not the best promotion. Maybe if they found the already whacked snakes and brought them to him, that would have been a better idea. But even then, I'm sure people would be knocking stuff off the shelves. So, sorry, Apu. Bad idea. Better luck next time. We also see the cops at the shooting range practicing for Whacking Day, because they're not whacking, they're going to be shooting. Unfortunately, their aim is really bad, worse than usual, and they shoot the light out.
Did you catch the joke in that, though, Matt?
Aim for the body?
Yeah, Wiggum says aim for the body.
Pretty sure that's all snakes have.
Well, no, cut off the head and the snake and the body will die. That is the saying. Aim for the head. You do not aim for a snake's body. Aim for its head. Or its neck, if you want to even get more technical, you chop off its head.
Or use a shotgun and just aim in the general direction of the snake.
I generally just let snakes go.
If you're trying to kill them, use a shotgun, but generally leave them alone and they'll leave you alone, kind of thing.
Like most wildlife.
That's true. But after the cops completely fail at shooting the snake, we see Lisa has gone to Reverend Lovejoy for some sort of advice about Whacking Day.
And the Lord said, "Whack ye all the serpents which crawl on their bellies, and thy town shall be a beacon unto others." So you see, Lisa, even God himself endorses Whacking Day.
Let me see that.
No.
See, that's what happens. Everyone gets on board, and even organized religion is co-opted into the fiction.
Whacking Day.
Even God endorses Whacking Day. I mean, that's why they didn't bring any snakes on the Ark, right? Oh, wait. Anyway, after that, we go to commercial and come back to Wonder of Wonders.
Wonder of Wonders, yes. I have just pulled the entire thing. It is the Whacking Day song.
Oh, Whacking Day, oh, Whacking Day. Our hallowed snake skull cracking day.
We'll break their backs, gouge out their eyes. Their evil hearts will pulverize.
Oh, Whacking Day.
I just want to point out that the little boy who does the solo has the same voice as Homer in a flashback before his voice drops.
Well, it's a young boy doing was it falsetto? I don't know if it's falsetto if it's a boy. I know falsetto.
No, I think it's a young boy. It's just he's a soprano or an alto. Okay. Until his voice drops into the tenor range.
I should know these things. But I this is when Homer reveals his new club, right? I want to say right before the thing starts.
Yes. You got a new Whacking City showing Marge, and she is heavily aroused.
Yeah, she's very excited. There's a lot of sexual euphemisms going on here. I mean, aside from just the fact that it's called Whacking Day, like, there's a lot of, like, Homer and Marge, you know, using that as, like, you know, euphemisms. Later on, we see the Miss Springfield gentlemen start your whacking. Which, right there, that's something.
Yeah.
Lisa is, she makes a final plea to Homer to not do this, to not join the mob. Homer has other plans.
Dad, please, for the last time, I beg you, don't lower yourself to the level of the mob.
Lisa, maybe if I'm part of that mob, I can help steer it in wise directions. Now, where's my giant foam cowboy hat and air horn?
Yeah, everyone needs an air horn for great events like that.
Yeah, and yes, the wise leaders of the mob have always used air horns to guide.
Yep.
we go to the, like, the opening ceremony of Wagging Day, I guess is what it is. And
that's a big deal, darn it.
Yeah, we meet Grand Marshal Barry White.
Here's our Grand Marshal, the Prophet of Love, Larry White.
Barry White.
No, it says here Larry White.
I know my own name.
Yeah? Well, we'll see.
Ladies and gentlemen, my unlimited love to y'all. It's truly an honor to be here at this... Hey, what is this all about anyway?
It's a lot of exciting snakes.
Oh, God, no. You people make me sick. Yay! Were they even listening to me?
I don't think so.
Sorry, Barry. They heard a famous guy with a great voice, and they just clapped.
Yeah. And then we get a long sequence where people, they're rounding up the snakes. The music teacher. What is the music teacher's name, Matt?
Ludwig? No.
That was a Bowser child. That's not... I mean, it was also
Beethoven's first name.
I know, but I prefer to think of him as a Nintendo character.
Oh, what was he? Oh, my God. I'm sure there are people yelling at us right now.
Yeah, everyone's like,
they're MP3
come
players.
Come on. Yelling at their phones. Regardless, the music teacher at the school gets overwhelmed by a crowd of snakes. Bart and Lisa are... Bart is reading... Is it Bart reading the book? Right? About the...
Yes,
about
Bart
the history,
is reading the book
history,
about snakes.
History of
Mr.
Whacking,
Largo.
History, Mr. Largo is the name of the music teacher. Is the history of Whacking Days written by Steve Woodward. So we get a little political humor injected in there. And they... figure out that if they put loud bass music will bring the snakes to them and they can keep them in the house and keep them safe.
I don't think that's how that works, but sure.
Sure, why not?
Whatever.
Yeah. Barry White is just, they don't have any bass heavy albums, apparently.
The Chipmunk's Greatest Hits, the Castrato Christmas.
Not so great. But Barry White's just strolling on by. They enroll his help. I guess is the combination of his disgust from being the Grand Marshal and Lisa being a lady giving him the plea is enough to sway him. He sings Can't Get Enough of Your Love, which is, he actually re-recorded this for this episode. He did not, that is not the like official recorded version. He actually sang it again for them, which it sounds great. I'm not going to play Can't Get Enough of Your Love, babe, because you guys can just go listen to that song, but he sings it. It's good. It gets all the snakes. It works. They put the amps facing down into the ground, and I guess that is enough to get the snakes to come.
Well, that plus Lisa's awesome bass playing.
Another instrument Lisa can play. She can play bass. She plays guitar.
Justin Bieber of the early 90s.
Guitar, bass, and... okay. Guitar, bass.
You're just gonna let that one slide, huh?
It's best not to confront things like that, Matt.
Okay.
Those awful lies. And the snakes are several feet high in the house, and then they close the door to protect them. The crowd comes, angry that all the snakes, they want to kill the snakes, it's Whacking Day, etc. Bart and Lisa kind of make a plea with the crowd. Bart explains why Whacking Day is not a thing.
People of Springfield, Whacking Day is a sham! It was started in 1924 as an excuse to beat up the Irish.
Oh, 'tis true, I took many a lump. But 'twas all in good fun.
This is the root of the weird, malleable history of Springfield. And, yeah. I mean, in general, in the world. I mean, this is, it's not just, it's evident in America, especially because we're such, still kind of a young country in global terms. But everywhere has this kind of thing where your history kind of gets moved around just by how people talk.
Well, it's true, especially because there's a lot of history, especially in America, that is really old, but there weren't a lot of written records about it. So it tends to be very malleable. Recent history especially tends to be pretty malleable because everyone who experienced it is still alive. So, people have different recollections of how things happened. And luckily now we tend to have slightly more concrete records of stuff like that. But especially when the country was first being started, things were a little more amorphous. No one really knows exactly what happened unless you were a rich white guy yet again.
Maybe the people who are writing the history might not necessarily be the most honest.
Exactly.
Might be a little bit.
History is written by the victors.
Correct. Oh, where was it? But the crowd is swayed by the children and Barry White. And I do like that Merrick Quimby shows up just in time to, you know, be proud of his pre-killed snakes, and the crowd gets angry. He gets angry back at them for being so fickle, and they're like, "Yeah, you're right. Actually, you're right to criticize us."
Quimby, give us hell.
Yeah, and that again, that is very Springfield, like the fickle mob mentality. But Skinner is there, I guess, because the whole town's there, and he is actually impressed by Bart.
Bart, I'm very impressed at the independent learning you've displayed here.
Thanks, Seymour.
Yes. Anyway, as a reward for your studying, I've decided to welcome you back to our school. You'll be reunited with your chums, Nelson, Jimbo, Oh, dear God!
Oh, Skinner. This is before cell phones, so he couldn't, like, set an alarm on his phone or something.
Yeah, and the episode ends with this.
Faster, Willie, faster! Now we give them the bikes, no one sues.
What if they're dead, sir?
Then we ride these bikes to Mexico, and freedom, Willie! Freedom!
Freedom! He'll turn you in at the first toll booth.
That's a good plan. They would go whole hog on Skinner for that.
We are shown that the bullies are still alive, I guess, subsisting on rations that are in boxes, MREs or whatever. Even though, how long has it been? How long have they been down there?
It feels like it's been a few days.
Yeah, at least a few days.
That room must stink.
We get at least a day. I mean, because Bart goes to school for an entire day, and then the next day is Whacking Day, right? At least. So they were in there for a couple days. Yep. That's how the episode ends. It's a good episode. I like it. It's a little strange in the fact that the first act is very short.
Getting everything set up doesn't take very long.
And no mention of Whacking Day in the first act either. That's the kind of the strange thing in that the first act just sets up the B story, which is Bart being expelled. And then the 2 and 3 are mainly about Whacking Day with some Bart in there. He kind of gets engrossed in the Whacking Day stuff with Lisa. There's also like...
Well, it's interesting. I was going to say that it seems like... I think we said in the last episode how it was very odd how balanced the A and B stories were. I feel like this one is kind of the same way. This one works a little better because towards the end they merge, so it's kind of like it's better that they're balanced. In the front, it wasn't super great because they were two completely different stories, just got thrown in the same episode. But in this one, it works a little better. But it is odd how normally you have a much longer, more involved A story and a shorter B story, whereas in this one, especially, they both get about equal time and then merge towards the end, which makes it work. It's just a little odd and unusual.
Yeah, it's a little strange, although I do like a lot, all these things we mentioned about later episodes, like the Skinners and Chalmers, the history of Springfield, Lisa's environmentalism, like all that stuff's in here. It makes me really like it because it kind of shows that you see the through line of the series, like, because those stuff that happens like 7, 8, 9, and you can still see that, like, the traces of that back here, which I really like. I like it makes it feel like all one show, even though thematically things change crazy sometimes. But it's not insane to think that Lisa suddenly becomes a vegetarian, or that the history of Springfield is all crazy. Like it all can be traced back, and the Whacking Day song is really good.
Yeah. It's a really good idea for an episode. I think the execution is pretty good. It's like it's a little strange, but it really lays the groundwork for a lot of later episodes, especially at least the Iconoclast, like you said. And I think those are some of my favorite episodes where you see where they're kind of going with stuff like that. And it's just a lot of fun.
Yeah. We will rank it at the end of the show. No submissions for my favorite episode, but if you do have a specific episode that is your favorite, email us at simpsonshowpod@gmail.com explaining why a certain episode is your favorite, and I will read it on air. Next up, it's time for comments from the news group.
Okay, here we are. alt.nerd.obsessive.
Comments from the news group is a segment where I will go back and comb the old alt.tv.simpsons news group. You can find that on Google Groups if you want to look through it yourself and look at what they're talking about when the episode aired. I found something kind of interesting because this episode is based on real things that there's actual places that just hold events where they kill animals. It was the biggest one is there's a town in Texas that would just kill rattlesnakes. And that's the obvious direct influence. But I found another one where, let's see, I'll read it. I don't know if it's a reference or not, but Springfield's Whacking Day. It reminds me a lot of the Bunny Bash they do in Utah and Idaho, and probably other places as well. Basically, they round up all the, you know, rabbits obviously breed quickly, and so they can quickly kind of overwhelm the local population if they're, I guess, if they're not rounded up and clubbed to death in mass eventually. But that's basically what happens. That's just even more horrific. Like, yeah. Bunnies? They're like snakes?
I can understand that. Bunnies are an invasive species, especially if you ever hear about the great, I don't know if it's called the bunny wall, but essentially someone introduced rabbits to Australia and now they are a huge pest problem and have to be regularly culled just like that. I don't think they, you know, round them up and club them. I think they shoot them, which yes. is a little more humane, I guess. Yeah. But it's a real problem with a species like that, especially a fast reproducing species like bunnies.
I realize it is an actual thing, but bunnies are just, they're just like the cute, you know, they're cute and furry as opposed to snakes, which are like reptilian and not as cute. They're, you know, quote unquote. There's also an event that they do in Australia called Toad Day Out. Well, you know, because, and that's the thing, like, they kill, and toads are the same problem in Australia, which they even, we see in Bart vs. Australia. Bart drops off a toad and there's a huge problem. And so they kill thousands and thousands of toads doing the same thing.
Invasive species, man. Yep. What you gonna do?
Yep.
Unless you introduce predator species, which you then need more predator species for that, and then another predator.
Bart the mother, they talk about that at the end. yes, we'll get the gorillas, and then they'll freeze to death in the winter. But that's all I found, really. I mean, obviously, there's always talk about where Springfield is, and what is up with Grandpa's cross-dressing. It's really interesting seeing early 90s attitudes towards cross-dressing.
Yeah, people are a little more scared of it.
Yeah, they're just like, it's like Babs, it's like a Bugs Bunny, you know, where he does it. Stuff, but yeah. Okay, with that, it's time for our listener question of the week.
Let's try one more number.
Yellow?
KBBL is going to give me something stupid.
Well, hot dog, we have a wiener.
Yellow?
Listener question of the week for this week is, what is your favorite meta moment in the show? I kind of left this open, but got lots of great answers. Really, I wish I had the time to read them all, but I really appreciate you guys always giving me lots of ammunition. I always have to rethink my answer after I read through them all. First from Twitter, we have Dead Homer Society, at Dead Homers, Dog of Death, Lisa saying, it's not fair to toy with people's emotions after they come back from commercial. We have Matt Henshaw 11, Ray or Homer walking by the window, or from more modern times, plagiarismo and plagiarismo de I am struggling. You guys know what I mean. Chris at Chris Slater, haul an episode about how commercials can kill us. Homer, we'll be right back. Cody at Commander Cody 83, when Lisa defies canon in I Annoy Grunt Bot by naming the surviving cat Snowball and the call out to Armin Tamzarian. Scott at Ryko Lives, also Homer stating that things have worked out much quicker than usual when Apu is fired and living with him. On Facebook, we have Brendan in the episode of Star Wars Burns, especially right before Jay walks in. Bart is watching TV, and after hearing the Jetsons meet the Flintstones, declares, I smell another cheap cartoon crossover. Also, right after that, when he says enthusiastically that all kids should watch Jay's show, Bart recoils and says, I feel so dirty. Oh, the critic.
Yeah.
Jennifer from Papa's Got a Brand New Badge. Homer's listing all the jobs he's had. Boxer, mascot, astronaut, baby proofer, imitation Krusty, truck driver, hippie, plow driver, food critic, conceptual artist, grease salesman, carny, mayor, grifter, bodyguard for the mayor, country western manager, garbage commissioner, mountain climber, farmer, inventor, smithers, poochie, celebrity assistant, power plant worker, fortune cookie writer, beer baron, quickie mart, clerk, homophobe, and missionary. But protecting people, that gives me the best feeling of all.
Sounds about right.
Catch my breath. Daniel, Boy Scouts in the Hood, Bart, Lisa, and Homer watching Itchy and Scratchy. When Bart nitpicks a detail in the show, Lisa replies, cartoons don't have to be 100% realistic, and Homer walks past the window while sitting on the couch. Thomas, I'm kind of obsessed with Roy of Itchy and Scratchy and Poochie's show fame. As a child, I didn't understand why he appeared in one episode only to go live with sexy ladies at the end. Now that I'm older and understand the idea of satire, he's kind of a brilliant play on useless characters. He also kind of resembles Poochie. It's a shame he hasn't returned as often as Poochie has. Yeah, a shame. We have Brian. my favorite meta joke is always, this is done at least twice, I think, of the first time Bart the General, Homer advises Bart to hit Nelson in the family jewels. Later in the episode, Bart is Grandpa's writing an angry letter with a list of words he never wants to hear on television again, including family jewels. In Homer Defined, Wayne tells Marge, the other day, Milhouse told me my meatloaf sucks. You must have gotten that from your little boy, because they certainly don't say that word on TV. No, never.
No.
Bonus answer, because I'm a cheater. I guess I'll read. In Battlestar Galactica, which is an otherwise terrible episode. You can ignore the otherwise. It's a terrible episode. Marge asks if Simpsons should get a horse. Comic guy then enters and reminds them that the Simpsons already had a horse, for referencing Lisa's pony. Homer asks if anyone cares what the comic book guy has to say. Later in the episode, Marge starts betting on racehorses and Lisa grows concerned about Marge's gambling problem. Comic book guy emerges with a worst episode ever shirt and tells Lisa that he's watching her. Battlestar Galactica is a very bad episode. I can definitely agree with that. Then finally we have from, on email from Joey, has to be Lisa's, you wouldn't believe the celebrities who did cameos, Michael Jackson, Dustin Hoffman. Well, they didn't use the real names. So you could tell it was them. Though the chalkboard gag, I am not a 32-year-old woman is a close second. Those two made me laugh the best.
That is true. Those are some of the best ones.
Matt.
They didn't use their real names, you know.
I know. Matt, what is your answer?
I'm going to have to actually go with Lisa naming the cats, because one of my favorite, jokes about TV shows, and they play with it a lot in this one and in Futurama, is everything ending up exactly the same at the end of the episode and saying, oh, well, you're Snowball 12, but we'll just call you Snowball 2. The Armin Tamzarian joke. It's just great. What about you?
I think surprising, no one. It is from Homer's Enemy.
Yeah.
Which is maybe my favorite episode, and it's, there's a lot of, that whole episode is basically just, like, poking at the, like, the walls of the reality of the Simpsons, but my favorite is when Grimes goes over to their house, and is just going, like, how, what, like, you live in a mansion, but the bit where he's looking at their pictures on the wall, and Homer's like, yeah, that was when I went to space, this is me with former President Gerald Ford. Mm-hmm. And he's like, you went to space. You. It's like, yeah, you've never been like that. That's so good. I love it so much. Homer goes, yes, Homer asked, former astronaut. I mean, the list of jobs that Jennifer sent in is also, I mean, that's the same thing. It's just like, look at all this. Look at all this nonsense. But it's great. Let's see. Next week's question. What is your favorite musical guest star?
Ooh, that's a tough one.
That is a tough one. There's been a lot of them over the years. And I think I know mine, but I'm not sure. I'm going to have to consult the archives. We're going to look back and see. I will post this question on all our social media on Facebook, facebook.com/TheSimpsonsShowPod, on Twitter @SimpsonsShowPod. And again, you can email us at SimpsonsShowPod@gmail.com. Any of those places, you will see the question. You can comment. You can also like see other links I post occasionally about The Simpsons. With that, Matt, it's time for our new Google Trivia Challenge.
I am too smart. I am too smart. S-M-R-T. I mean S-M-A-R-R-T.
No Google Trivia Challenge is where Matt and I, we challenge each other with three trivia questions. One easy, one medium, one hard, and try and stump the other. We welcome suggestions for themes and other trivia questions, which I will present to Matt. Matt, I'm going to start us off this week. How about that? How about that? You can't stop me. Don't even try.
Oh, snap.
Easy question. What animal does Bart accidentally shoot in Bart the Mother?
I believe it is a bird.
That is correct. It is a bird.
All right. Your easy question for today, if it will open. So I accidentally closed it when the internet cut out.
Oh.
Okay. Where do Patty and Selma work?
The DMV.
That is correct.
Ready for a medium question, man?
Maybe.
What is the name of Lisa's pony? In Lisa's Pony.
Oh, what? Why don't I know this?
Well, I don't know why you don't know it, Matt. Maybe you're just not very good at this thing.
Maybe I'm terrible. You're right. Princess?
That is correct. It is Princess.
Okay.
The most generic name. It is.
Well, Lisa is an 8-year-old girl. It has to be, you know.
Yeah, an 8-year-old girl would name a horse a pony Princess.
Okay, your medium question. When Bart gets famous, what is his catchphrase?
I didn't do it.
That is correct.
Okay, Matt. You might recognize a very loose theme of mine, but how much does Laddie cost in the Canine Mutiny?
Oh, man. Oh, I said $900? Dan, you hear me?
You're wrong.
Oh.
It was $1,200.
$1,200. Damn it.
$1,200. Bart should only get one. That was the gag. Give me a hard question, Matt. Let's see if I can get it.
I think you'll get this one, but I think a lot of people won't. In Springfield, with a dollar sign, who does Bart poach from Mr. Burns' casino to play at his?
That is a Mr. Was it Bob Goulet? Robert Goulet?
Yes, Robert Goulet, yes. You are correct. Robbie, you swept me this week, man.
You only missed one, but I got...
That's true.
You didn't do so bad. I've got some questions from some listeners.
All right.
Okay, so I have two from John. He gave us the ones we had last week as well. In Homer Simpson versus the City of New York, Marge takes Bart and Lisa to see what Broadway musical set at the Betty Ford Clinic?
Oh, it's Kicking It?
Correct. That's correct.
Okay.
The second question from him. In Mother Simpson, Grandpa mocks the hairstyle of what Hall of Fame football player?
Oh, God. Another one he likes is Johnny Unitas.
It's a haircut you can set your watch to.
Yeah. I have no idea the one with the long hair is.
His nickname was Broadway.
Yeah, that's not going to help. I know little enough about football today, let alone back then.
Played for the New York Jets, famously.
No clue.
Guaranteed a victory at Super Bowl III.
Super Bowl III? Are you kidding me? How am I supposed to know that?
Joe Namath.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
Appeared on the Brady Bunch.
I probably should have known that name.
Okay, so here is a question from Joey. I have a list of Bart's 20 prank calls over the years.
Ooh.
How many can you name? And I mean, all you have to do is give me the fake name he uses. I think that's good enough.
Okay. Let's see here. There's Ivana Tinkle. There's the best one, Huge Ass. There's I'm a Stupid Moron with an Ugly Face and a Big Butt, and I like to smell my own butt.
I'm trying to find these on the list. You said Huge Ass, right? That's on there.
It's Huge Ass.
Ivana Tinkle, you said that. Uh-huh. Okay.
Put down your glasses, Ivana Tinkle.
Okay.
Let's see. What's the one with Jimbo? I hate these because I can never pull them off the top of my head. Wow, I'm really bad at these. Holy crap. I got nothing.
Okay, you got 3 out of 20.
That's pretty sad, yeah.
So we have, let's see, we have Phone Call for Al, Alcoholic. Is there an alcoholic here? One. We have Oliver Clothes Off, Call for Oliver Clothes Off. IP Freely. Hey, everybody, IP Freely. Jacques Strap. Looking for a Jacques Strap. Is there a Butts here? See more Butts. Hey, everybody, I want to see more Butts. Homosexual. Come on, one of you guys has got to be homosexual. Mike Crotch. Hey, has anybody seen my crotch lately? We have BO problem. BO problem. Come on, guys. Do I have a BO problem? Amanda Hug and Kiss. Those are the old ones. And then here I got the newer ones. We have a telegram for Hey, would you cuddle me? Big guy in the back. Hey, would you cuddle me? Chloe, find out what you can about Ahmed Adoodle. I know Ahmed Adoody. Does anybody there know Ahmed Adoody? Hang on, I'll check. Anyone seen Maya Enormous Butt?
Nice.
We have this is my personal favorite, Droopy Wiener. Anybody expecting a Droopy Wiener? Is there a Mr. My Friends Are Gay? First name Olaf? Attention, everyone. All of my friends are gay. We have a urinator. My mouth is begging for a urinator.
Oh, God.
Text message for I'm a wiener. As you all can see, I'm a wiener. Finally, hey, guys, do I got a leaky bum? Anyone, look at the stools. Is there a leaky bum? Anyone, check the rear. I know I got a leaky bum. So there you go. Extensive list there. Thank you, Joey, for that. Thank you, John. You guys want to send yours in, any of those places I mentioned, it's a great place to get in touch with us. Back to the notes. They're around here somewhere. With that, we can go to our final segment we end every show with. It is time for Best Episode Ever.
Best Episode Ever.
Best Episode Ever is part of the show where Matt and I will rank the episodes categorically as we watch them chronologically, eventually compiling a list of every episode ever and how good they are. Where do you have in mind for this one, Matt?
This is a really tough one, I gotta say. It is good, but it doesn't, super stand out. I'm thinking, let's see, what is this similar to?
It's kind of like it's a Bart Lisa kind of thing. It's
it's kind of like separate vocations, but nowhere near as good.
Nowhere near as good. Hear that, folks?
Okay,
nowhere near as good.
I'm not talking Homer's Odyssey level. What I'm like, not up there with separate vocations. I'm kind of looking. Mentioned Selma's Pony. Probably better than Lisa the Beauty Queen. What do you think?
You're combining episodes now.
I know.
Selma's Choice, Lisa's Pony. Just because they're close to each other on the list does not mean they're one episode.
I know.
I'm probably looking in the 20s. I think it's better than I think it's probably somewhere from 20 to 23. I think it's better than Saturdays of Thunder. I think it's better than Brush with Greatness. I would put it. I don't know if it's better than Brother from the Same Planet.
It's definitely not better than Bart the Murderer.
I would not put it above Bart the Murderer. I think Bart the Murderer is better, but I don't. It's somewhere. It's either above Brother from the Same Planet or below from the Same Planet.
I would probably put it above Brother from the Same Planet because the Whacking Day song alone is amazing. And while Brother from the Same Planet does have Phil Hartman, this one has Barry White. Which is, you know, a more household name. It's got a lot of great jokes. It does have that weird story structure where the A and the B stories kind of merge towards the end. But it's got a lot of things that people really remember. Like Brother from the Same Planet, if you mention something from that episode, not a lot of people will get what you're talking about. But if you say something about Whacking Day or snakes and that sort of thing, people remember Whacking Day, which I think makes it resonate a little more with people who are both Simpsons fans and not.
No, I agree with you. I think Whacking Day is funnier than Brother from the Same Planet. I think Brother from the Same Planet is very much more of a relationship issue, like episode with Homer and Bart, mm-hmm. than, you know, laugh out loud, nonstop laugh kind of episode, which this is closer to him, though. And I like the fact that it has all those kind of inklings of things we see later on. That really pulls a lot of weight. So I think 21's a good spot for it. This list is getting ridiculous.
Yeah, because I feel like we put stuff on the list, not in a scattershot kind of manner. We kind of find similar episodes and go up or down. And then sometimes you look at two that are really far apart and you're like, well, those feel like they should be together. But we do what we can, guys.
Yeah, it's, you know, I stand by my decisions, as ridiculous as they can be. But that is Whacking Day at number 21, right below Bart the Murderer, right above Brother from the Same Planet. Marge versus the Monorail is still number one. Last place, Homer's Odyssey, 78. Surprising no one, because I don't think, like I said, season 9 might. We might get there.
Someday.
I like that people are still kind of tease out what season 9 episode that I think I would put below Homer's Odyssey.
I thought it was season 11.
Was it season 11?
I thought it was season 11. I could be wrong.
Then maybe it is season 11. No, you're right. I was thinking backwards. I was thinking it's not Armin. I was thinking Armin Tamzarian, which is season 9. But I wouldn't put Principal Popper below that. I think it's, despite its flaws, it has merits that I enjoy. You can find this list on our website, which is thesimpsonsshow.com. Very simple. You can find all the new episodes, streaming and downloadable, links to our RSS feed, to our Facebook, to our Twitter, links to our Patreon. If you want to support us, you can go there and do it. What is our next episode, Matt?
Let's see. Next episode, we're getting close to the end. It is Marge in Chains. I feel underappreciated episode.
I actually, of all the quote-unquote classic seasons, A Marge in Chains is by far the episode I've seen the least.
I look forward to your opinion on it.
I have seen it probably single digits, not very many times. Every other season 4 episode I've seen like dozens of times probably, but Marge in Chains is one I've seen very few times. I don't know why. It just, maybe I just didn't think like Marge episodes were that interesting as a kid. I don't know. We can talk about it next week. Before you go, you can find me on Twitter at MixMasterCereal. That's MixMasterCereal. And please check out my comic book podcast at Handsome Boys Comics Hour, handsomeboyscomicshour.com, and, you know, iTunes, Stitcher, all those places has it. Matt does not participate in social media unless you're a Patreon subscriber. You will not find him.
Then you can hear my boring opinions. That's true. However, I'm actually tweeting from inside of a human body this week. I have gone on a fantastic voyage and been shrunk down to kill a tumor in somebody. So if somebody sneezes on you, congratulations. You may be hanging out with me and not even know it.
I was going to say, man, like, isn't everything you do, like, from inside a human body, technically?
I guess the thought comes from inside the human body, and, okay, I am transmitting from inside a human body.
It's a very strange philosophical question there. But with that, I think we call it a day. I am Robbie.
And I'm Matt.
And keep watching this episode.